Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our services this morning. The service over to Amy Shively at this time to do some graduation recognitions.
Good morning. All right, we're going to recognize our graduates from high school and up. I'm not sure how many are in the audience, but if you are a high school or a four-year college graduate and would make your way to the front when I call your name, we do have a small gift for you. I am going to start with the highest level of graduate that we know of, and that is Adam Baldoni. So Adam Baldoni is the son of Art and Carol Baldoni and grandson of the late Louise Helm. Graduated from Penn State University on May 10th, 2026, with a doctorate in physics. He began the seven-year program in fall of 2019. He is employed as an assistant professor at the United States Military Academy at West Point in the Department of Physics and Nuclear Engineering, where he will teach physics classes, participate in research programs, and assist in character development of cadets. Adam is a 2015 graduate of Big Spring High School and a 2019 graduate of Dickinson College, where he majored in physics and math. Our next graduate is... Yay! Our next graduate is a master-level graduate. That is Kane Friedinger. In February, Kane Friedinger graduated from Chamberlain University with a master's degree in nursing, specializing in family medicine nurse practitioner. While he may have completed his education, Kane loves learning and plans to continue studying and learning as much as possible. In June, he will be joining WellSpan Shippensburg Family Medicine as a nurse practitioner. So if you want a round of applause for Kane. And now on to four-year college graduates, we have Brantley Friedinger. Brantley Friedinger graduated from Shippensburg University on May 9th with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. She and her team designed an amazing walking bridge for their senior project. B completed her internship with BL Companies in Harrisburg. She will begin working full-time with them in their land development department in June. Our next four-year graduate is Cassie Menser. She's the daughter of Bill and Sharon Menser. She graduated from Shippensburg University in the beginning of December with a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration, majoring in business management with a concentration in international business and a minor in Spanish. Over her time at Shippensburg, she was involved in numerous organizations such as the Marching Band and FBLA. She credits her success to the skills that Alpha Kappa Psi Business Fraternity had taught her throughout her undergraduate career. Cassie has decided to continue her education at Shippensburg University and will be graduating with her master's in business administration in December of this year. Our next four-year graduate is Lauren Miller. Lauren Miller graduated from Messiah University with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, earning cum laude honors. During her time at Messiah, she studied abroad for a semester in Italy, participated in service trips to Poland and Tennessee, was involved in the Outdoors Club, worked at the campus library, and served through the Agape Center for local and global engagement. Lauren would like to thank her mother, Amy Miller, and her father, Denny, for guiding her in faith and life through their constant love and support. Whether it was answering random phone calls, helping complete financial aid forms, or moving her into and out of dorms and apartments, their presence made earning her degree possible. She would also like to thank her church family for their continuous prayers, generosity, and thoughtful cards and letters of encouragement. Their support consistently reminded her of what matters most in life. After graduation, Lauren plans to move to North Carolina to work as a pediatric nurse at Mission Health Hospital. And we have Lauren with us, so that's wonderful. Congratulations. And then we're on to high school graduates. Our first graduate is Logan Combs, son of Pastor Galen and Anita Combs. He completed his homeschool education in Virginia and will officially graduate in June. Logan has a variety of interests, including illusions with biblical truths, balloon creations, mission work, and child education. He will be discerning his career choice through various volunteer opportunities. And then we have Melanie Kreider. Melanie Kreider is the daughter of Jake and Lisa Kreider. She has two sisters, Veronica and Felicity. She is the eldest granddaughter of Mike and Adrienne Kreider. Melanie is graduating as a senior from Chambersburg Area High School. She is a member of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. Melanie has been a member of the Trojan Marching Band for the past 4 years. She has served as a junior drum major and head drum major in the band. She played alto saxophone in the symphonic band, wind ensemble, and county bands. She was a member of student government, glee club, and other leadership programs. Her honors include National Honor Society, National Spanish Honor Society, and Mu Alpha Theta, which is a math honor society. Melanie was awarded the Lenfest Foundation Scholarship Program for Southern Pennsylvania. Melanie will be attending the University of California in Los Angeles in the fall with a major in neuroscience. She plans to go into the medical field with a career as a neurologist.
What are you doing? Okay, kiddies, up front. Wow, there's not enough chairs. That means there's a lot of kids.
Woohoo!
Okay, here's something you won't see very often. Me with notes. I usually just make it up as I go. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad there's some big kids here, because some of what I'm going to say, the little kids aren't going to understand. I'm sure you will all understand it, but these little kids aren't going to get it. Here we go. You ready? You ready? 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 Yeah. Wheat flour. Niacin. Reduced iron. Thiamine mononitrate. Riboflavin, folic acid, stay away from that microphone, sugar, palm and or canola oil, cocoa processed with alkali, invert sugar, baking soda and or calcium phosphate, soy, lecithin, salt, chocolate, and the least thing is natural flavor. So who can tell me what that is? Better living through chemistry. Who can tell me what that is? You all know, right? What? Well, who said what?
Cocoa Puffs.
Who said Cocoa Puffs? Boy, you're close. That is Oreo cookies. You'll never eat an Oreo cookie the same way again. So, all those ingredients, they're things that make something else. But me reading these ingredients, you didn't know what it was, did you? You had no idea what it was. But let me read some other ingredients. Love. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know what those ingredients are for? They are the fruits of the Spirit. They are the ingredients of a Christian. You have that at home. So you know. So they're a lot easier to remember than niacin and polysorbamironi, whatever it is. So just remember, to be a Christian, you need these ingredients, okay? And they're easy to say and easy to remember. Okay, let's pray, and then after we're done praying, we're going to collect the coins. Ready? Here we go, bow your head. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ingredients to be a good Christian. Amen. Okay, let's get the coins. Okay. No, take one of the thingies.
God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Randy Alcorn, in his little book, The Treasure Principle, writes, "The more we give, the more we are blessed, and the more we become like Jesus. Our giving pleases us, but more importantly, it pleases God. God wants us to enjoy giving to him and to others." And he goes on to say, "If we don't give, we're robbed of the source of joy God instructs us to seek. Let us find the joy God chooses for us as we give joyously and generously and present God's tithes and our offerings this morning." If the ushers would please come forward.
Thank you.
For scripture this morning, I will be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed or who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. May God bless the reading of his word. At this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor Galen.
It is a good thing to be flexible. Amen? That is the name of the game, is flexibility. And so we have been flexible today by choosing a new place to worship. I'm so glad that we have folks that are able to make that transition, because yesterday we had a run-in with our sound system, and praise the Lord, we had a safety net. Amen? And so we're so thankful for people who have that gift and those talents that are able to make this possible today. Thank you so much for having this available today. Want to give you some information about our daughter and son who are on a mission trip in Guatemala. The good news is they made it there safely. Amen? We received word yesterday that they were eating in guess which restaurant? It has a big golden arches. They were eating in McDonald's in Guatemala. So if you don't think McDonald's is everywhere, think again. There are McDonald's all over the world. What I want to share with you is they had a connecting flight. They flew out of Dulles, but they didn't go straight to Guatemala. They went to the country of El Salvador, and during that flight, when they got to that first leg and they woke up and they had a few hours of rest on the plane, and they looked out into El Salvador, and there from the plane was a rainbow. And it was so beautiful to be able to receive a picture of that rainbow. It's a sign that God was with them no matter where they were. Amen. And I'll never forget, and I've shared this story before, when we came here, not been here long, in Pennsylvania, over Wise Store in the rain, there was that rainbow for me as a sign of God's presence, as a reminder that no matter what junk we go through, no matter what storms we face, God is with us in the middle of those storms. Amen? And there are times that he reminds us of that in very visible, tangible ways, like a rainbow. He gives us that reminder of his presence in the middle of our storms. I'm going to ask Tom this morning, are you back there, Tom? Would you be able to put up, and I think this is so cool that we have about the same capabilities we would if we were in the church, but can you put up the words "teach the truth" above our heads? Above my head. Teach the truth. Because I want us to focus on these words today as we are continuing to think about our vision statement as a church here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. We have this vision of what God wants for us as a church, and one of the things that we are called to do as a church is to teach the truth. And if those words don't appear over my head, I think you can still remember them, right? We can still remember them whether or not they appear, but something tells me they might here in a few minutes. We have been focusing on the importance of teaching the truth, of teaching God's word, of sharing the truth of Scripture with the world. And so today, I want us to continue to think about our vision, that vision, one of the pieces
is to spread the truth, share the message of the Bible with the people around us. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you've ever driven a manual transmission. It's called a stick shift. Anybody ever drive one before? Anybody own one? Got a lot of hands of folks that have driven a stick shift. Now, if you haven't driven a stick shift, I will tell you this morning that there's a correct way to do it. And when you get to a certain speed, if you are driving a manual transmission or a stick shift, you have to press that clutch, right? And you have to change gears. Because if you don't press the clutch and change gears at the right time, and you kind of learn, don't we? We kind of learn when that time is right. You kind of get used to that. You know when to press that clutch, and you know when to change those gears. Because if you don't, the vehicle will scream at you, won't it? It makes a noise. Or, as Carol said, it will stop. Because there's a certain way you have to do it. And if you decide, hey, I'm not going to do it this way, I'm going to do it my way, you're going to end up not going anywhere. And that car eventually is not going to work in the way that it was designed to work. Just like there's a correct way to drive a stick shift, there is a correct way to handle the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, this passage that was read this morning, in that passage, Paul tells Timothy about two men who were not handling God's word in the correct way. There were two men in today's scripture who were spreading false teaching. They were saying things that were not true. They were saying that the resurrection, that bodily resurrection someday that we will experience, they were saying that it already happened. And because of their teaching, they were destroying the faith of some people because they were mishandling the Word of God. And so Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he says it's very important that we handle God's Word correctly. Because if we don't handle God's word correctly, we can become like those two men, mishandling the word of God and then destroying the faith of the people around us because we're spreading teaching that is simply not true. So it's very important for us to correctly handle God's word. Now, there's an outline this morning in your bulletin. If you want to fill this out while I'm preaching, feel free to do so. You may not have a pen or pencil, and that's totally fine. But there is an outline. If you want to fill it out, it's available to you today. Because there's some things that I want us to take from today's message that I want us to put in our hearts so that we can go from today growing in our faith, knowing what God wants us to do with His Word. In order for us to correctly handle God's Word, there's some things that we must do. And the first thing we must do, if we're going to handle God's Word correctly, we must make sure to not add or take away from God's Word. So if we're going to handle God's Word correctly, we must make sure not to add or take away from His Word. Now, if someone wants you to come to their house and they give you directions to get to their house, and you decide, you know, you're not going to follow all the parts of it. You're going to take out some that you don't like. And so you have decided you'll go part of the way with the directions you have. You'll do part of what is told to you to do. And if you decide to do that, if you say, I'm not going to follow the person's directions, I'm not going to listen to the GPS, I'm going to take out part of these directions, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get to the person's house. Am I right about that? You're not going to get to your destination because you've decided to take away a piece, a part of what's very important for you to do to get there. So you're not going to get there if you decide to take away from those directions.
Also, if you decide, you know, these directions need something, so I'm just going to add a little bit more to them. I'm going to add my way to these directions. And if you decide to do that, if you think, well, I'm going to add my directions to get to this person's house, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up someplace else. You're going to end up in a ditch, right? Or in somebody's yard. Because not the yard you're going to. Someone else's yard. Because you have decided that your way is best. You have decided that you're going to add your own directions. And you're not going to get to the destination where you want to go, because you've either taken away from the directions or you've added to the directions that are already there. Listen to me today. When we add or take away from God's word, we're not going to see the Bible the way God wants us to see it. We're not going to get to the destination that God wants us to get to in his word because we have decided we are going our own way. When we add or take away from God's word, we are mishandling God's word. Now, there's a world religion, and this world religion actually calls itself Christian. It's not Christian, but it calls itself Christian. It's a world religion in our world today. And this world religion says, in order to be saved, we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, and then we do good works. And if we do enough good works and we have received Jesus, then we will be saved. It's a Jesus and mentality. It says that salvation is not through Jesus Christ alone. It's through Jesus and good works. Let me tell you something today. This group, this world religion that calls itself Christian, is mishandling God's word. Because God's word tells us that all we need to be saved is to receive Jesus Christ in our hearts. It's not Jesus and good works. It's not Jesus and doing things to get into heaven. It's we receive Christ, and the Bible says we are saved. Amen? There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. And this group that says we need to be saved through Jesus Christ and good works is mishandling the word of God. So in order for us to correctly handle God's word, we are to follow God's word exactly as it is written, without taking anything away, without adding anything to. We are simply following God's word as it is written. So to correctly handle God's word, first we must make sure not to add or take away from the word of God. Secondly, to correctly handle God's word and find the meaning of a verse of scripture, we must do something else. We must be aware of what's happening around the verse. It's called context. When we see the story or what's going on around the verse, that's the context, and it's very important that we are aware of what's happening around that passage of Scripture so that we can correctly understand what's happening. Because sometimes we're not going to completely understand what a verse means without reading the context, without reading what's going on around that verse. Let me give you an example. In Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. Now, if you read that verse just by itself, let's say you just take that verse out of context, and you just read that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might think that you could jump from a tall building and land on your feet, right? Because I have this verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some people may think that means they can leap tall buildings. They can do the impossible because they can do all things through Christ in that way. You might think that you will always get the job promotion every single time, because this verse says that everything will happen in your favor. Some people may interpret it that way. Everything happens in my favor. I can do all things. Everything happens for me in the way I want it to happen. I will always get the job promotion, someone might think, because the verse says I can do all things. And so I interpret it that way. If you're athletic, you might think, well, I will always win the race every single time, because this verse says that I can do all things. So people might think that everything good is going to happen to them in every situation. They're always going to get the job promotion. They're always going to win the race, because Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And yes, he strengthens us. But if we're going to understand Philippians 4:13, we need to read the context of what Paul is going through in this situation in Philippians 4. Because in Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul is in prison. He is in prison. He is suffering hardships again and again and again. And when we look at what Paul is going through, when we read this verse in context, we see that this verse means that we can get through any hardship through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. Amen? That's what it means. That we can get through any difficulty, that we can get through any challenge through the strength of Christ with us in that situation. But we're not going to completely understand that if we don't read that verse in its context. If we don't read the story of what's going on around that verse, we don't understand what that verse means. So it's very important that we make sure to read the context of a passage so that we can understand the meaning of a verse. To correctly handle God's word, we must make sure not to add or take away from his word. To correctly handle God's word, and we're going to find the meaning of a verse, we must be aware of what's happening around that verse. We must be aware of the context of that verse. Finally today, if we're going to correctly handle God's word, if we're going to find the meaning of a verse, we must sometimes use other scriptures to find the meaning. We've got to read other scriptures in God's word if we're going to understand a particular verse. So to correctly handle God's word and find the meaning of a verse, we sometimes need to read other scriptures to find that meaning. Let me give you an example of this. In God's word in Mark 16:16, part of that verse says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That is actually a verse in the scriptures that says those words. And if we were to read Mark 16:16 all by itself, we might think that in order to be saved, we need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. If we just read that verse alone, if we take that verse out of scripture and we just read that part of the verse, it may cause us to believe that salvation is more than just receiving Christ. It also means we need to be baptized to be saved. And there is a church that teaches that. There is a church that teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. But we know from Scripture, if we look at other scriptures in God's Word, we see through the rest of God's Word in other places that we are only saved by believing in Jesus Christ and believing in what he did for us on the cross, and then receiving Jesus into our hearts. That's how we are to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that baptism is necessary for salvation, but we may think from this passage of Scripture that it does. That's why it's important for us to go to other places in the Scriptures, to read other verses, so that we can see the truth and understand the meaning of a verse of Scripture. Sometimes we can't completely understand a verse without reading other passages of Scripture. They help us to get a clearer understanding of the meaning of a verse. So to correctly handle God's word, there's some things we must do. And that's what I want us to take with us today, is that if we're going to correctly handle God's word, we first must not add or take away from the word of God. When we add or take away from God's word, we're mishandling the word of God. To correctly handle God's word, we also need to be aware of the context. We need to be aware of what's happening in the verses around so that we understand the story. We understand what is happening so that we can understand that particular verse. And finally, if we're going to correctly handle God's word, we must sometimes use other scriptures to find the meaning of that particular verse that we're looking at. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we do all we can to correctly handle the word of God. Listen to me today. If you've driven a stick shift, you know this to be true. That if we don't handle a car correctly, if we don't do what the designers intended for us to do when we drive that car, we're going to cause an accident to ourselves, and maybe we're going to cause an accident to the people around us because we have not handled that word correctly. Listen to me today. If we don't handle God's word correctly, we're going to hurt ourselves spiritually because we're going to begin to believe something that's not true. We've listened to what someone on TV says, that televangelist, that pastor on TV, and we begin to believe what that pastor said simply because we just take that pastor's word as truth. And then what happens is we begin to believe what that pastor says because we're not checking God's word for ourselves. And we begin to hurt ourselves spiritually because we are believing what we want to believe. We're not believing the truth of God's word. We've added to the word of God. So if we don't handle God's word correctly, we can hurt ourselves spiritually. But there's something else I want us to understand today, that we can also hurt other people when we begin to teach something that's not true. When we tell our Christian friends, here, I believe this, and it's not in God's word. We are pointing people to the wrong path. We're pointing people away from God because we are sharing something that is simply not true. We are teaching untruth, and we are mishandling God's word, and we are pointing people away from God. So if we don't handle God's word correctly, we can hurt ourselves spiritually, but we can also hurt the people around us as we are saying something that's not true. We're teaching something that's not God's word. But here's the good news today, that if we handle God's word correctly, we can find out how God wants us to live and we can move forward in our faith. Amen? That's the good news, that if we handle God's word correctly, if we be careful not to add or take away, if we are careful when we're interpreting scripture to be aware of the context of what's happening around the verse, if we are using other scriptures to help interpret a verse, then we are correctly handling God's word, and God tells us that we will move forward in our faith, we will live in a way that God wants us to live, we will grow to be the people that God has called us to be. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we handle God's word correctly. May we always handle the word of God correctly in the way that he wants us to handle his word. And all of God's people together said, amen. This is my favorite picture in the world. Here it is. One of my other favorite pictures was Jesus and the children. We had it over our children's cribs when they were little. It was Jesus and he was holding all the children in his lap. But this is probably my favorite because it shows Jesus And it's in my office. I look at it every single day. And I thought, I'm going to bring that today to the Family Life Center because I want to share this with you. This is what I look at when I go into the office, this wonderful picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And I have shared this before, that I love the fact that Jesus doesn't have a handle because the handle is on the other side. And I love that because Jesus is not going to knock down that door. Jesus is going to gently knock. Sometimes he knocks a little louder to get our attention, but he's not going to tear the door down because he's waiting for us to respond to his knocking. I love that image of Jesus always knocking on that door, trying to get our attention, trying to let us know something he wants to tell us. And oh, how many times we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to listen to that knock. There are some people who have said no to that knock their whole lives because they're not ready to receive Jesus as their Savior. Today, what I want us to understand is that he never stops knocking. Amen? He never stops knocking. I've heard people say to me, Pastor, this person was with at the very end of their life. They only had a few breaths left. Do you think that it's possible that they could have received Christ in their lives? And I say to them, yes, until they draw their last breath, Jesus keeps knocking on the door. And there have been people who have received him as they are on their deathbed. They have received Christ into their lives. And if it's a true commitment to Jesus, the Bible says that they are saved. Amen? And so today, I want us to understand that Jesus is knocking on that door today. He's knocking on our heart's door. And there may be somebody here today who's never let him in, who's never said, God, I need you in my life. And Jesus wants to come in. He wants to forgive you from your past sins so that you can begin again. We won't be perfect. We're going to struggle. Our problems might get worse when we walk out the door. But the good news is, if we have Jesus Christ, he will get us through every problem that we face. He will help us through all of our challenges. If you have not received Christ today, the invitation is for you to come this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you as you make the decision to follow Jesus. He is standing at the door, and he's knocking at your heart. Perhaps today you're struggling with something and you need prayer. We'd love to pray for you today. If you need God's healing, we'd love to pray for healing for you. If you have a need in any way, we're going to invite you to come. We're going to sing a beautiful song. It's called Softly and Tenderly. And as Carol plays this song this morning, if God has laid something on your heart, I'm going to invite you to come today to this front row. And we'll invite the deacons to come and we'll pray God's Spirit over you. We'll pray for you, if you've received Christ, we'll pray that God will be with you as you make your first steps of faith. If you need healing today, we'll pray over you today. If you are struggling with something in your life, I want to invite you to come because Jesus is knocking. Softly and tenderly, he's knocking. And if you need to respond today, I want to invite you to do so as we sing our closing song. Let's please stand. We'll sing softly and tenderly. If the Lord has placed something on your heart, please come today.
Thank you. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, we thank you today for Jesus. And God, we thank you that he's always there, knocking at our heart's door, asking for him to come in. Father, we thank you for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And Father, we ask that you would help us to draw closer to you. We pray today, Father, that you would help us to correctly handle your word. Help us to not ever add or take away from your word. Help us always, God, to read the context, the verses around a verse. And Father, help us to use your word and other scriptures to interpret your word. Help us to follow your word correctly so that we can grow to be the people you have called us to be. Father, I pray now that as we leave this place, that your protective hand would be on each person as we go out these doors. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and together all of God's people said,